The Hawaii Sports Radio Network on 95.1 FM and AM 760 presents Wake Up in the Den with Kuʻule Ogbayani.
Good morning, beautiful people. Let's wake up in the den. I'm Kuʻule Ogbayani alongside Paul Brecht. It is Thursday, but Paul is in studio today. As you heard with the promo, there is still Sharks Weekly coming up after this show, but it was a pre-recorded interview as they were out at the Mauna Lani Golf Course, bringing you the action from the PacWest Conference Tournament. So stick around and you guys can hear Jeff Rich catch up with a bunch of the different golfers that were in action over the last few days. But also joining us in studio, it's a party. Zor Ned is hanging out with us this morning as well. Good morning, Zor.
Good morning. I'm happy to be back in the den.
Yeah. And now, like I said, it's a party because now we got Paul. We didn't have Paul here the last couple of shows when you joined us, but we're going to have a little fun today. Definitely talk a lot of basketball as we are in the best part of the NBA season now that the play-in tournaments have happened. Although the Golden State Warriors reign is over, which I will talk about later because it reminds me of my hockey team as well. But my Orlando Magic are still in it. And so we'll talk some NBA, but definitely want to get into some men's volleyball discussion to kick off the show because it is a big evening tonight with the Big West Conference Championships getting underway with the first round with the Rainbow Warriors in action in the second game taking on UC Santa Barbara. It's definitely going to be a big game, but before we get into all the info you need to know, here is what Alaka Itad had to say when addressing the media earlier this week.
Conference tournament coming up. You guys know you have to win out. What's kind of the motivation and mentality this year?
Well, you know, coming off of the San Diego series, we had a first game that was good, and then, you know, sometimes losses are disappointing, but, you know, win or lose, you come off of a win or a loss with value. You know, you learn things, and I think the team learned a lot of things and gained a lot of motivation from the loss on Saturday. And we've been working hard in the practice gym this past Monday when we got back to fix some of those things and execute strategies that we have against UCSB inside our game on Thursday.
Yeah. How important is it going to be to have the fans here for this?
Oh yeah, it's going to be super important to have the fans here, and I think we'll have a good turnout of fans Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Hoping that we go that far, you know, we're preparing for the whole entire weekend, so having a good show out of fans is going to be really important for us, and we love the fans.
Yeah, and despite Saturday's loss, do you think you guys are, you know, continuing to trend in the right direction, especially with postseason play coming up?
Yeah, I do. I do think so, and I think, like I said before, like, win or lose, we positively gain value from every single game, and, you know, the bigger the setback we have, the better we have for motivation for the next game. So
you played these guys here last time here, and they gave you a scare on senior night. So what did you guys learn from that, you know, those last three games, the last three sets of the match against them on senior night?
You know, I think one of the main things is managing expectations. And, you know, we can't expect the team to just put out just because it's our senior night or something like that. So just managing those expectations and executing on all fronts, from our scouting report to in the practice to managing, like, nagging injuries or anything like that. You know, just preparing yourself to be the best you can be on game day.
Fair to say they're better than their record?
I think every team on any given night inside the Big West can be one of the top teams in the nation. It just depends on consistency. Everybody has the firepower to be a great team.
Alaka, speaking to the consistency thing, how challenging has it been for you guys to put together, you know, your best, one of your better efforts on back-to-back nights, and what it'll take to do that three nights in a row?
I think it's been a challenge ever since we lost Spiros, because that was kind of just the core group we've gone through and practiced with throughout the year. So having this time to figure it out with the new lineup, I think it's not been a challenge, but it's been like kind of like homework, you know? Every game we're learning and we're getting better and better at being more consistent with that group. So I think by the time Thursday and Friday and Saturday, we're going to be on our best game and playing the best volleyball we've been playing this whole entire year.
When it comes to Santa Barbara, what do you think are the keys to getting a victory in that match?
Well, there's one of the biggest ones is the elephant in the room. They have one guy who is producing, I think he's got the most points as a player inside the conference, is Jess Bianchi. So slowing him down at the pins and just executing our game plan on all the other guys and serving well, blocking well, just playing volleyball, playing our game.
How do you just kind of feel going into this knowing, being a sixth-year guy, being a senior, that we've reached the point now where it's pretty much win-or-go-home time? How much pressure is that for you?
You know, the pressure hasn't really set in yet, but I'm sure it will. And, you know, not all nerves are good nerves, but there are good nerves, and it's good to be a little nervous and to have a little itch to want to win and send someone else home and know that they can send you home and finish your season. So really excited to go out there on Thursday and every other night and just prove that we're the best that we can possibly be and put out a good showing for the fans.
How much can you rely on the experiences you guys have as a group of being in this situation before?
Oh, it's huge. You know, we've been in these situations for the past, I don't even know how many years we've been inside the final or the Big West or NCAAs. We just have so much experience in these tough moments. So I think having that leadership and that experience of being here before is going to help immensely to kind of calm the nerves, keep everybody going on all fronts.
Since 2019, do you have a favorite, when you guys have played the tournament here a couple times, a favorite memory from those years?
Ooh, there's a ton of good memories. Definitely would like to say, I think my favorite moment is going to be this year, but one of my favorite moments from just all the Big West tournaments is just being able to be with the guys and celebrate, you know, after we have a big win.
What's the challenge of just playing a team a third time? I mean, you beat them both first two times, but like you said, they have one of the highest scores, and then just for the third matchup, especially in playoffs.
I think one of the biggest things is we've played this team many, many times over the years, and it's around the same lineups, you know, but just executing our same game plan, but also being ready to, like, change on the fly, you know, have situational awareness during the game to fix things that maybe happen. And I think that's one of the biggest things is that situational awareness, fix problems on the fly.
And that was Alaka Itad from the UH men's volleyball team as they get ready to face UC Santa Barbara this evening to open up the Big West Conference Championships. Now, they did get a couple of wins over UCSB during the season, a sweep in the first game and then a 5-set win over the Gauchos. So wear green. I have to remember to tell everybody that. Wear green tonight. I was like in my mind, I know I need to tell the beautiful people something, but that's it. So be sure to wear your green this evening. I know a lot of people already do wear their green, but sometimes you wear certain shirts. I don't know what I'm wearing yet exactly, but if you guys have your green, make sure you wear your green gear. Game time this evening is scheduled for 7 o'clock Hawaii time, but it depends how long the first game goes. So the first match between number 4 seed UC San Diego and number 5 seed CSUN is at 4:30 p.m. And then the number 3 seed Hawaii versus the number 6 seed in UC Santa Barbara will get underway at 7, or depending on what time that first match finishes. Should Hawaii win, they will move on for a really big match against the number 2 seed in UC Irvine. The number 1 seed in the other side of the bracket is our Long Beach State, and we'll see what happens.
Going to be interesting to see, that's for sure.
Sorry.
I don't know what's going on with my microphone today, everybody, but I promise I'm trying it out as best I can over here.
Trey, turn off my mic, see if that helps.
It does not. It's live radio. It's normal stuff. Radio. But either way, it's the rubber match if Hawaii can advance past UC Santa Barbara.
Oh, no. That's a sign we need to silence Paul.
One microphone goes down, another one back up.
That's pretty much what happened. So
down.
For everyone that is wondering why I'm laughing so hard, including Zor, earlier in the week, it might have been Tuesday. So Tuesday, my microphone went all wonky. Like, the day before on Monday, it was perfectly fine. And then Tuesday, I open up the show and then it just like something went wrong and it was all weird and wonky. And so we worked on it, switched out the processor, and we were good to go yesterday. And both microphones worked perfectly fine yesterday. And now Paul's microphone is being weird. And it's only when his mic is turned on. This is just not. We apologize for the people.
I'll play with it over here a little bit. Pause. And make sure that everything is settled. But you and Zor can have a nice conversation. It's a normal Thursday, Koo.
Just when I was like, oh, Zor, Paul's joining us in studio. Just kidding. He's here, but he's not here.
I just make everything run as smooth as possible behind the scenes. I'm like the Wizard of Oz behind the do not look at the man behind the curtain.
Pretty much right now. All right. As we mentioned, live radio, folks. So that's what's going on behind the scenes. Every time it's when we have the video not going, it's like there's the wonky stuff going on. Anywho, getting back. So again, the Hawaiian Islands presents the 2024 Outrigger Big West Men's Volleyball Championships tonight at the Simplify Arena at Stan Sheriff Center, beginning with the first round. But mainly our Rainbow Warriors taking on UC Santa Barbara, 7 o'clock p.m. and wear your green. Zora, have you gone to quite a few men's volleyball matches?
Yeah, I've been to a few in my time at UH. It's always a really good time to go to those games. It's a really electric, I mean, anytime you go to the stand, it's always going to be electric, but having a team that's been, you know, one of the number one teams or top five teams in the country, that's even more of an incentive to go to those games. So I'm really excited to see what they can do, and hopefully they can make a run to the tournament and win another national championship.
Yeah, for sure. And we've talked about this the last few weeks, is just, well, I guess ever since Spiros went down, actually, is just if they figure everything out right now, right? Because, I mean, you're familiar with playing basketball, and we talk about it all the time when it comes to the NCAA tournament or in the PacWest tournament. It's about playing your best basketball when it really matters, right? Just getting here to the postseason, that's to check off box number one. And then if everything comes together at the perfect timing, I mean, any team can win at any point. And I think this is kind of reminiscent to how the PacWest men's basketball side was this year. That is very similar to what it is with the Big West men's volleyball championships that we'll see this weekend. Because I think with the PacWest men's basketball tournament, we thought as well, because Paul and I, obviously, with working a lot with HPU and whatnot, we were very aware that, wow, these teams are actually really, really competitive against each other this year. And it could have been anybody's game throughout the entire tournament. So I think that's probably the thing that we're looking forward to the most, is anything can happen. I know Hawaii fans, though, we are used to just being like, oh, we're going to win easily. So this is probably the most stress we've ever had when it comes to men's volleyball ever since the beginning of the Big West tournament, which is really not that long ago. Because it's, I mean, isn't that crazy to think that it's only been Hawaii and Long Beach that have won the Big West championships?
Yeah, but that's still good for the game in general, that, mm-hmm. that other teams are starting to catch up, and other programs are starting to make it more competitive for Hawaii and Long Beach. I think that it's sad to hear about injuries. It's sad. It's always tough to go through a season when one of your star players gets hurt, but it's good to go through adversity at some points in the season, and it makes you as a team grow together and be tougher and learn how to be more versatile. You grow as a player when you have to step up and do things you're not necessarily comfortable doing. And I have a lot of faith that UH is going to be able to pull through and make a run in this tournament.
I love it. And we'll see what happens. So we hope to see you guys out at the Simplify Arena at Stan Sheriff Center tonight. Again, Hawaii's game scheduled for 7 o'clock p.m., but it will also depend on what time the first game between UC San Diego and CSUN is finished. So we're going to step aside. Hopefully Paul can figure out his microphone. But we will be right back as we are joined also with Zorned in studio on this Thursday morning. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Wake up in the den with Ku'ule'e Agbayani on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760.
Welcome back to Wake Up in the Den. Ku'ule'e Agbayani along with Paul Brecht and Zor Ned having a party this Thursday morning. All right, so I wanted to bring up something really, really cool that was announced yesterday. Caitlin Clark landing a massive shoe deal, around $20 million plus signature shoe deal with Nike, which of course should end all the debate about her leaving Iowa and going up to the WNBA, mainly because this deal would not have transpired at Iowa because Nike is actually the brand of Iowa. So obviously any type of negotiating leverage would be skewed because you're almost like negotiating against your employer. I mean, I know the schools don't employ these athletes per se, but you guys get what I mean. So she actually met with Persham Sharania, had meetings with Nike, Adidas, and Under Armour, with the Under Armour meeting apparently featured an appearance with Steph Curry, which is kind of interesting because the reason why Steph Curry went with Under Armour is because Nike never treated Steph Curry seriously in their presentation to him. So then he ended up going to Under Armour. So it's interesting to see everything like come full circle in this type of shoe deal. So shout out to Caitlin Clark, massive deal, getting her own shoe. Most recently also we saw in the W that Sabrina Ionescu got her own shoe. So it's been amazing to see, and I hope this will squash any of the people that had continued to say that, I don't know why. And
Cool. I was told that, and clearly my microphone back to working. I was told that she's not going to make any more money. She's actually taking a pay cut going professional.
Yeah, because, and people don't know that name, image, likeness in college world essentially means an adult ward endorsement deals. So, and that stuff follows you when you become a professional. And like I said, she would have got that deal, would have been hindered, a shoe deal with Nike, because Iowa is a Nike school. So all of that going forward. But it's been amazing to see as the women's game continues to just have this incredible rise and upward trajectory that we can see. But yeah, you're going to rock those shoes?
Yeah, possibly. I mean, I'm a big fan of women's basketball in general, and I'm glad to see that. I mean, I've heard Sabrina's shoes are really comfortable and really something that a lot of NBA players are even wearing too, and I've heard a few of my teammates say that they want to get one of those pairs. So hopefully she comes out with a nice shoe that's comfortable and that's with a good design, and I'm sure that little girls around the world and even little boys around the world will want to wear her shoes.
I think that's the coolest thing, because I brought this up before with Caitlin, and now we're going to start to see with the WNBA that it's going to transcend like all genders, right? Like you do see a lot of little boys that were wearing Caitlin Clark jerseys and supporting all the women's players. So I think that's really cool to see, because I talked about it a lot with Paul the other day, following the WNBA draft, that especially as it dealt with Alyssa Pealey, who really represented the Polynesian culture, which is something that we haven't seen here in Hawaii, where you see a Polynesian woman be able to get drafted and play a professional sport that high in recent times. So all this representation that you're going to see, and I think the world better watch out, because if we get the poly women into like more into women's sports, we already see the dominance in football. So if you can imagine, it's going to be crazy.
Yeah, 100%.
I'm not. I talked before and it was so quiet. I'm going to still have to turn myself up.
I was like, you still sound a little quiet.
Yeah, but either way, we're kind of back, folks. Woo! We're kind of back, folks. There we go.
Now it is a party again.
Representation, though, is the conversation that we're on. And it's another really big part of why the W is growing so quickly, is you see all these young women represented from different cultures, and seeing that, hey, there's somebody who looks like me who can do this, why can't I? It's very, very fun. It's very, very exciting to see as a basketball fan in general.
Yeah, but 20 million plus. I haven't seen an exact figure come out yet. Yesterday, they were saying it was going to be eight figures. Today, I'm seeing a closer number where it should be, because we were talking about, Paul and I were like, oh, so at least $10 million deal. But now I'm seeing upwards of $20 million deal, which is insane.
It's still, what, they said eight figures, right?
Yeah.
So it's still eight figures, but.
Oh, no, for sure. But remember, we were like, oh, so more. It's at least 10.
Yeah, yeah.
But now you're seeing 20 plus. Woohoo!
She is a superstar. She's transcendent for the game. And I will say this. I'm going to come on air and I'll stand my ground. Asia Wilson deserves a shoe at this point. What's she got to do? This is the best player in the world for the W.
Oh, for sure. And I've seen that argument, and I don't know what she needs to do per se. I think playing wise, obviously she's the best player. I mean, she's the aces and they're back-to-back WNBA champs. But it's like, it's one of those things, like, I don't know what you need to do to, like, these days with social media. I mean, do you self-promote yourself? Because it's all about marketability, right? Like, there's a reason why, like, people are just going to gravitate towards Caitlin Clark, and then that's what they're going to buy. And I don't know what an athlete needs to do. But then you look at Angel Reese, who has done very well for herself as well. And maybe, you know, she didn't go necessarily as high in the WNBA draft, but she's probably, like, her popularity is right up there with Caitlin in terms of across the league. So I'm not sure what the answer is for other, like, quote unquote, better players in the W to get their endorsement deals, or what it will take to make yourself more popular to the masses.
It's hard, to be totally honest. And I get that when I bring up the criticism, but at the same time, it is a little bit weird to look at the women who do have signature shoes at this point in the W, and there's a trend that goes along with it. And I will allow people to go look it up for themselves, because there are three players now who are officially, yeah, like, sponsored for shoes. It just, there are a lot of very talented women who I hope we continue to see get signature shoes as the game continues to explode. Because Zor, like you said, there, I mean, with the Sabrinas, I've seen so many men wearing their, or wearing her shoe in, like, from college all the way up to the NBA, discussing how comfortable it is and all of that. At the end of the day, shoes are shoes are shoes. And you're right, marketability is going to be the number one thing. Asia, kind of the start of that South Carolina dynasty with Dawn Staley. I think I can call them a dynasty now that they've won 3 titles in 7 years. That feels right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, you know, either way, I would love to see this continue to be parlayed into even more opportunities for other stars in the W.
Actually, speaking of Angel Reese, is Shaq part of Reebok? Was it Reebok that he is?
Yeah, he's definitely
I wouldn't put it past Shaq to create an Angel Reese Reebok brand signature shoe, because he's all about supporting Angel Reese.
Yeah, that's definitely on the way. I feel like a lot of this may just have to do with timing. I think that Caitlin Clark is one of those generational superstars, yes, that you kind of have to just jump on the ball with that and, mm-hmm, and sign her to a deal as soon as possible. But I do agree with you, Paul, that Asia is definitely somebody that they should 100% consider getting a shoe deal, especially how many accolades she has at this point. It's kind of like, it's kind of as at this point almost a matter of time before she gets, yeah, her deal. And I think that it's great. I think that a lot of, you've seen, even with, I think Cameron Brinks signed to New Balance. Like, there's a lot of these women that are joining the WNBA, or they're already coming with their popularity from college and with their NIL deals, and how much they've already established their brand. So it's only going to grow from here, especially with Paige Booker's coming next year. And
Juju.
Yep.
I mean, like, you can go down the list in terms of, you're spot on. It really does come down to timing. I just sit here and I'm like, dang, man, there are some good players who still deserve it. And I understand if they look at it and they're like,
yeah,
someone who hasn't played a second yet in our league.
Yeah.
But also, you're right, where you got to strike when the iron is hot. And tell you what, the iron is scalding when it comes to Caitlin Clark.
And that's why I have to continue to give Angel Reese her flowers, because I think she helped bring more of that attention too, especially last year. Like, hey, sometimes, as it's been said, right? Like, sometimes bad press is good press. And as much as an Angel had to, like, put the world on her shoulders and had to deal with a bunch of negative criticism, like, throughout that whole time after they went to the championship game and won. But part of what made last year, you know, really start this incredible upward, like, just explosion of women's basketball, was because there was this competitive drama between Caitlin and Angel, and then you got the you don't see me thing, and then the ring thing, and, like, it just exploded. So I hope that, you know, Uncle Shaq takes care of Angel, which I can imagine that she's going to get. But yeah, maybe we'll see something with Asia Wilson as well. I mean, her former coach, Dawn Staley, had her own shoe as well.
That's
back in the day.
Thing,
so
right? you look at it, and I believe that they're coming, and you're going to continue to see it. And with Angel Reese going to the league, that's somebody who you'll see also continue to push the boundaries, like you mentioned. And also, I love Angel because she's so connected with everybody, like literally everybody.
Oh, she's always on social media too.
Well,
yeah.
Mello was dropping her a message after she got drafted. She's like essentially family with Shaq. It's cool how many different connections she has in the basketball world as well. And I think that'll be something that helps push up the W on top of already her talent and what she has brought to the game during her time in college.
Yeah. So I guess that's why I keep bringing up Angel, is because she's another player that's went a little later in the first round and still unproven in the league. But I think she's someone that, striking when the iron is hot, that we would see potentially get more endorsement deals slash maybe her own shoe before someone like Aja Wilson, who is extremely talented, part of the back-to-back WNBA champions. And it's just, crazy marketing world we live in, is that they, because when it's not only designing the shoe, like obviously if you're just designing the shoe for people who are good players and deserve it, that's one thing. But these companies are going to want to make their money back and then some on the marketing and the marketing ability of the athletes that are promoting the shoe.
You're telling me that the Angel Ones aren't going to go triple platinum?
That's what
first
I mean.
Off,
that's
is,
why.
That name
but I'm trying
goes
to trying to compare Angel and a player like Aja Wilson, where it's like Aja definitely top 2-3 players right now in the W. At least
she's number one to me, man.
Okay, I didn't want to totally anger Paul here because he's a Liberty fan.
No.
I didn't want to rub it in his face because the Aces have won so many times over his team.
I'm a Liberty fan, but I'm also a realist. And Aja is, if not the best player in the world on the women's side, she's, like you said, certainly top three. She's somebody who can almost make it so Breanna Stewart is, I don't want to say non-factor, but her equal. And Stewart, a multi-time MVP, champion, blah, 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 another one of those players with a shoe. You look at it and it's like, dang, man, you know, if you're able to go toe-to-toe that much and win, there's conversations that need to be had.
Mm-hmm. All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, though, sticking on this NCAA basketball discussion, Gino Auriemma said something interesting, because we've seen it happen all the time in men's basketball, the one and done. And now, could that potentially be something that slowly creeps its way into women's basketball? And Gino said, if it does, it will ultimately ruin the game. So I'll get your guys' thoughts on that when we come back from break on Wake Up in the Den.
Please don't stop the music.
Wake Up in the Den with Kuule Ogbayani on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760.
Welcome back to all of you, the beautifulest of all the beautiful people. It's Wake Up in the Den. I'm Kuule Ogbayani alongside Paul Brecht and former University of Hawaii men's basketball player at UH Manoa and Hilo Zorned. We're talking some basketball, but more of the other topics surrounding the sports. So as I mentioned before we went to break, one interesting topic that came up yesterday is that Gino Auriemma, the head coach of the UConn women's basketball team, was asked about if the one and done rule in women's college basketball could ruin the game. So that's what Coach Gino has said. And those that are maybe familiar, we see that a lot with the men's basketball side, where a lot of these like phenomenally talented players, you know, kind of recently, like your Zion Williamson, where they just spend 1 year in college and they leave. Part of the reason why the NBA draft could potentially have lost some luster as or players themselves, because you don't get to have this fall in love with a moment with some of these players in college. So which has made the women's game really grow as well, because people have had time to get to know these women's players. And then ultimately it all culminated with the WNBA draft. And we will likely see the same thing happen in the WNBA draft moving forward. But So Gino had said, quotes, it depends what, like when asked about this, he said, it depends whether you want the game to grow or you want to kill it. He said in an interview with ESPN Radio's Unsportsmanlike, he continued, quote, if you want to kill it, then let the kids leave after freshman year. On the men's side, it's become transactional. Everybody's a free agent. Everybody's a mercenary. It's not the kids' fault. To me, that helped the women's game grow in the people in Iowa. Grow is the people in Iowa got to grow with Caitlin Clark. The people of Connecticut got to grow up with all of my great players. There's something to be said for that. So the current WNBA rules stipulate that players are eligible to be selected in the WNBA draft upon graduating from college or being within 3 months of doing so, or in the calendar year that they turn 22. So entirely different from what we see on the NBA side. So it gives an example that 2021 National Player of the Year Paige Bueckers, UConn's latest superstar, and who Paul and I talk about and sing praises of all the time, could have declared for the WNBA draft this year as she turned 22 in October of last year. But after being sidelined with all the injuries, she chose to come back and or come back to UConn, and everybody went crazy. And Caitlin Clark could have had the option, but she chose to go to WNBA. So could Angel Reese have, you know, stayed at LSU? So this is entirely different from what we have been accustomed to on the men's side for so long. And now we come here. First, it's about as if dealing with the transfer portal situations that are going on. Do you guys think, and I'll actually get your take on this first, Zor, being that you, I mean, just like Paul, but I want to get your take as our guest on what, how you feel about potentially allowing the women's basketball players to be able to be one and done. I mean, I feel like that's not a fair question because it should be equal to the men regardless. But if that does happen, do you kind of share the same sentiment with Coach Gino that it could potentially ruin the game because a lot of the fans won't be able to learn and get to know some of these players from what we've seen, as he mentioned, like with Caitlin Clark and some of his great UConn players?
Yeah, I think it not only may ruin the game, it may ruin some of the players because a lot of you see a lot of WNBA players, especially after the draft, there's this process where they have to make the team, and there's not enough WNBA teams for just everybody to just kind of jump in after 1 year. You see even one of the top players from LSU last year, she didn't even make her roster. So it's a slippery slope with that. I think that you do gain a different level of appreciation when you're able to grow with a player throughout the years. And I think that's the beauty of women's college basketball right now, where you're able to kind of grow with these players and see them throughout the years and kind of develop a relationship with them. And in terms of the men's side, it's kind of like, okay, we don't really know. There's not as much attention to the men's side. And I think that's what's making the women's side a little bit more interesting, is that you have these household names that are there for 3 or 4 years. And that's kind of how men's basketball used to be when it was at its peak, when you had the J.J. Redicks and the Jimmer Fredettes that kind of just stayed at a program for a certain amount of time. So I think that it may not only hurt the game, but it may hurt the players, because if you're just 1 year in, I mean, there's obviously certain talents that definitely would be able to make the jump, like Juju and other players like that. But I think that it may hurt some other players in the league where you have veterans that may be losing a roster spot because there's only a certain amount of roster spots. Now, as the WNBA kind of expands their teams and maybe they get to around 20 teams or 25 teams, then maybe that might be something that you could look into. But I think that for now, it might not be the best case scenario because there's only a limited amount of roster spots.
I couldn't agree more. Mm-hmm. I think Zor set that up exceptionally well in terms of a bunch of different things. It's not that these young women can't do it. It's that it takes a very special player to be able to break into the WNBA as it is. And at this point, there aren't that many opportunities. There's more of an opportunity for you to fall by the wayside than there is for you to make a roster. Whereas in college, you're able to grow your game, grow your NIL, and so on and so forth, and go into the future and have an actual opportunity at making the league. And you're right, Zor, or at least I think you're right, where it's a conversation I'd love to revisit after the W actually expands. Mm-hmm. Not like this, what they're going to do with 2 to 4 teams or whatever, but like a real expansion into a 20 team league, into a 22, 24, you know, all the way up to 30 team league. That's when you start to see more of those opportunities, because if you look at the NBA, there have been, kind of like Zor alluded to, I mean, hundreds of careers that have been ruined because a guy thought he was ready to go straight from high school, straight from freshman year of college to the NBA, and then he doesn't get drafted. He's now lost his eligibility. He's got to work his way up through the G League, the D League it was back in the day. They got to go overseas. And that's something that's already been a massive conversation with the women's game, is the amount that we see our young ladies going overseas in the off season to make money. So I think I agree with Gino's take in terms of it's a good way to try and kill the game at this point, just because part of the reason, he's right, that women's college basketball has been able to grow is because there have been players that fans can actually connect to, and they stay there and they watch, and they watch them grow, not just as players, but as young women. And it's been cool in that sense. That's a part of what I really like about college athletics in general. So I think Gino is right with his take, at least for now. I think in the future we can revisit it, and then it changes. But that also implies that the game's going to continue growing, and that is our best case scenario and what we hope for most here in this studio.
Yeah, and I agree with you guys. It would be nice to see, 20, 25 WNBA teams right now, or someday soon, hopefully. That'll be insane. Yeah, more than just the 2-4 team expansion that is on the immediate horizon. But also, I wouldn't put it past some of these players to not be, and this is where NIL helps, right? And not just on the women's side, but also on the men's side, where they don't feel as pressured to go to the NBA and or G League, wherever they end up, to try to make the money by going up to the league, knowing that maybe they're not even a first round pick, but hey, any money is some money for them to have to take care of their family, right? So this is the part where the NIL has, I think, will help with a lot of these players on the men's and women's side, just because they, obviously this is the bigger schools, your Power Five schools, your Dukes, North Carolina, where if you're just a player on that team for 4 years, you're going to do pretty good, at least for the time being, with just not feeling that pressure. Obviously, don't get it twisted. The jump in money and salary from the NIL level in college to the professional level is night and day. Like, it's way more money in professional. But like I said, there's not that instant pressure to make anything you can, because now at least they have the opportunity to make that money. And then I want to go back to what Coach Beeman said before on how, and we bring up this quote, I feel like every other week, Paul and I, because it's so true, and I can get your take on it as well, Zor, being that also your other half is a basketball player on the women's team, where like women, they need to feel good to play good, where men, they need to play good to feel good. That's kind of what Coach Beeman said. And I'm like, that's so true. Obviously, it's not the case for everybody, but I think for a majority, that's true. So I think of the women's players, I'm like, maybe they might be better off, or they might feel better or more comfortable in their college environment and life instead of having to go professional and deal with everything like that. So how do you kind of take that quote as well?
Yeah, I think she's spot on. I think a lot of the times it comes down to being in a good environment where you have people that care about you. And I think Beeman does a really good job with her program in general, just making sure that she appeals to all of her players on a different level, whatever emotional state that they're at or whatever mental state they're at. I feel like she does a really good job at that. And I think that, that quote by her is kind of just the definition of something that like Beeman would say, or that how Beeman is as a person. So it's good to hear her say something like that.
Yeah. And it's like, like I said, Paul and I talk, bring it up. Well, we bring up quite a few of her quotes. I was like, that was fire. That was fire. We're always texting each other. If she does a media scrum, we're like, there goes Coach Beeman again with her quotes that she always just dropping on everything. My other favorite one is that she does is, and I bring this up all the time too, this was when she was asked about, might have been Imani Perez.
Yes.
Were you surprised at, I think, a way that Imani played? And then Coach B was like, never surprised, but always impressed. I was like, boom!
She just drops gold all of the time. It is awesome as a media member. I'm sure our Michael Lascaro loves it, because he's a little look behind the curtain. He's the one that puts together some of those cool little quote graphics that we've been putting out recently. So, you know, Beeman, keep giving the Beemanisms. Is that what we call them?
Hashtag.
Hashtag Beemanisms.
I think that's going to be a thing. Hashtag Beemanisms, because it's so true. But nonetheless, I go back to that first quote that we mentioned and think, even if the women were allowed to be one and done, I feel like it just wouldn't be the same as how we've seen on the men's side. Do I think it could ruin the game because we would see so much turnover? Yeah, but I feel like we just wouldn't see as much as we do see on the men's side, because I think women will look at more of their environment more than men that are just like, I'm going to go to the NBA and like, I don't really care. I'm just going to go, right? Where women, we tend to look at all of our options. We're a little more level-headed. We want to think of what's the best environment to be in. And it's just kind of funny because I'm like, I got like two men's basketball players in here and you got me as a women's basketball player or women's athlete, and we're all athletes in here. And I'm like, but still, it always comes back to, I think it just wouldn't be as insane, for lack of a better term, as what we've seen in the men's game. All right. Got to step aside. When we come back, we'll close it out with some NBA playoff chat and get your take, Zor, on what you've seen so far. Next on Wake Up in the Den.
Wake Up in the Den with Kuule Agbayani on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760.
Welcome back to Wake Up in the Den, closing it out here with Paul Brecht, Zorned. I'm Kuule Agbayani. All right, looking back at the NBA playoffs, the best time so far. I'm still a little teary-eyed that the Golden State Warriors are done and the reign of dynasty is officially over. And again, I just...
Helps when I turn my mic on.
Well, no, I just look at it, reminds me, well... Which it's kind of weird that the Warriors aren't in the playoffs and my actual team of like the Orlando Magic are in. Like, this is like a weird Twilight Zone area that we're in right now, that I can look forward to my actual team and not just have to enjoy watching Steph Curry and the Warriors. But it feels like when I look at the NHL playoffs and my Pittsburgh Penguins aren't in it, and after their three championships as well during the time of Sidney Crosby, feels like it's all coming to an end at the same time. So, Paul's actually trying to get, he's getting pretty good at the sound. He's stepping it up over here. No, but anyways, I digress. Mr. Zorned, what has been your takeaway so far with these play-in games?
Yeah, I think the play-in has been one of the better things that the NBA has come up with in the last couple of years. I think that, These games are must-see television, especially you have a lot of star power with LeBron versus Zion. You have Steph Curry versus the Kings. You know, that's a big-time matchup. And then even on the East, you have the notable matchup between the Heat and the Sixers with the Jimmy Butler saga and you know, the last game that took place with the Hawks and the Bulls. It's always going to be really good basketball, and it makes it even the last month of the regular season very interesting, because a lot of the teams, especially on the West, I mean, the Warriors had, I think they won five or so more games than they did last year, and last year they were a sixth seed. So I think that the game is growing and it's in a good place, and there's really good basketball to see over the week. And hopefully, I mean, this is the perfect time for basketball fans. You know, you get out of March with March Madness and you dive straight into the play-in and you dive straight into the playoffs. So I'm really excited to see. I know me and Paul have some beef coming up this next week with the Sixers versus the Knicks matchups, but
that is right. Ooh,
it's gonna be exciting for sure. But overall, Zor's setting it up beautifully. It's gonna be an awesome playoffs. I mean, you want to talk about new teams? Koo, you mentioned how your Orlando Magic make it into the playoffs this year, and as a young team ready to take that next step, you have the Cavs who are, you know, continued to build their way up. Last year, obviously, lost to the Knicks in the first round. This year, get to lose to the Magic in the first round. It's very exciting for them. Zor and I get to jokingly have some beef on Twitter, I'm sure, as the Knicks and Sixers play what I'm certain will be the most toxic series between fan bases I've ever seen.
Oh my goodness, that is so true. If there are any like crazier fan bases in basketball, well, I guess the Celtics too, though.
Celtics are, you know, they're fine.
Knicks and Sixers fans, that's wild.
We are
the only thing else
crazy.
That maybe might be crazier is Detroit, but that's about it.
Detroit's up there too, but Detroit, they've killed their passion over there with what they've done with those poor people, and the Pistons have been so tough over the past few years. Celtics, their fans just get to enjoy being good all the time. At least with Zora and I, we've sat through. I mean, I can speak for myself. I've sat through 20 years of slop from the Knicks. And for Zor, he's actually had to live through the process and now kind of see what's the other side. Zor, I am curious about what you feel going into this series, kind of where Joel Embiid is at as he's coming off a pretty significant knee injury from during the season. Before that, he was playing at an MVP level, and you probably got a chance to see a little bit more, or at least have a little bit better feeling about where the 76ers are at following that play-in game. Is Joel close enough to 100% where you feel that they're going to be able to kind of make one of those runs, or have the potential to make one of those runs? Or is it just asking a little bit too much from the big fella coming off of a pretty significant knee injury?
Yeah, I don't think he got enough time to, and I think Nick Nurse talked about this a little bit. He didn't get enough time to play himself into shape, because a lot of the games that they were in, they were playing some of the lesser teams, and they decided a little bit more of rest. And I mean, he had like 30 in one half, so it was kind of no point to keep him in the game. But
yeah, he's
I don't think that he's played himself into quite a good enough shape, and you could see a little bit yesterday when he had his hands on his knees a lot of the time. I think it's gonna really come down to the supporting cast. You know, we're going to have people like Nicholas Batum. I mean, it's going to have to be Tyrese Maxey that really steps up, and Joel's going to have his moments. Joel's going to command a lot of double teams. I mean, he you always see it in the playoffs. He gets double teamed every time he touches the ball. They deny him. So it's going to be on the others to kind of make those strides. And, I mean, it's a good matchup for them against the Knicks. I think that guard for guard, big for big, it's going to be a really good game. And unfortunately, fortunate for us, you guys don't have Julius Randle. But I think that that's going to be probably one of the better series on the east side. And I think the best series on the west side is probably going to be the Timberwolves-Suns matchup.
I like that call out, because I agree with you. It feels like the Knicks and 76ers are destined for a 6-7 game dogfight here in the first round that we seem to get every single year. And then over on that west side, I like the Timberwolves-Suns call out, because the Suns, they've struggled all year terms of what their expectations were. But the Timberwolves, almost the opposite of it, where everybody was like, is this pairing of Rudy and Kat in the front court going to work? Is Ant going to take that next leap? And they've answered essentially every question with an incredible defense and some really high-level talent. But the Suns, it's hard to bet against the high-level talent that they have as well. So I like that. I like that call out from Zor right there, especially on the west side. Something that people are going to keep an eye on.
Sticking to the west, though, too, do you guys think we could get a Super Saiyan LeBron James that somehow can put the Lakers on his shoulders and come up with a massive upset, which it would be over the Denver Nuggets?
Here's my hot take. The games last year, they lost within 5 points or so each game. And you've seen three or four games where Jokic or Murray hits an off-balance three-pointer with the shot clock going down. If they have limit those and D'Angelo Russell plays, you know, if he has to match kind of a little bit with Murray, he has to at least match what he's been doing this season, I think that they have a pretty good chance to possibly win the series.
That's a perfect take to end the show, and we'll see what happens. But we got to go. For Paul Breck, Zorned, I'm Kule Ugbayani. Mahalo for listening. Bye.